Does President Trump possibly have a chance at re-election? This is being recorded on November 11th, 1620. Well, actually, 2020. November 11th, 1620, 400 years ago, was the very day that they signed the Mayflower Compact, which began the whole process of ultimately culminating in the U.S. Constitution and the freedoms we've enjoyed. Now there's a question about election integrity, and we're going to talk about that issue right now with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Hans, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and appreciate your time. And the overall question is, does President Trump even have a chance at this point?
Well, Jerry, thanks for having me on. He's got a chance, but he has an uphill legal battle. And I say that because, look, no matter what the merits of the claims that are being made by his legal team, and they have legitimacy in Pennsylvania, for example. The state courts there acted improperly in extending the deadline for the receipt of absentee ballots past the deadline mandated in state law, which is the end of election day, to 3 days past the election. And they, of course, are arguing, the Trump lawyers, that any absentee ballots received after that date should not be counted because it broke state law. But here's the problem he and his lawyers have. Gathering the evidence to show that the results of an election have been compromised and cannot be trusted is an extremely tough job. It's time-consuming. It requires a lot of resources, a lot of investigative work, and you've only got a very short time in which to do it. And that's particularly true in a presidential race when you don't have months. You've got until the beginning of December when the Electoral College meets and the states have to certify and say what the results of the election are. Second, look, even when you have substantial evidence that elections are compromised, judges are very reluctant to overturn election results.
Okay. Well, first of all, the media keeps calling Joe Biden president-elect. Wouldn't it be more accurate and just fair to at least say projected president-elect Joe Biden?
Well, it probably would be, but as you know, what they say has no legal effect whatsoever. That's just their opinion. If I was a broadcaster, I would be saying, we need to first see how this litigation and the issues being raised by the Trump campaign are resolved before we basically do a final pronouncement on who has been elected president.
Who certifies the election results?
That's according to state law. It's usually election officials in each state. Sometimes it's the Secretary of State of that state. Sometimes it's the governor. And they can't do that until every ballot has been counted, any recounts have been done, if a recount has been requested or is automatically in place, and frankly, until any litigation that contests the outcome has also been resolved.
What are your thoughts in terms of some of the pronouncements from, Sidney Powell, attorney for General Flynn, and she has said that there were 450,000, allegedly, 450,000 ballots that they identified, I believe in Pennsylvania, that literally just had Joe Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden. In other words, whoever the 450,000 people that cast these ballots, it probably wasn't just 450,000 people. But anyway, they didn't vote for any other position, just the president, and always for Biden. I mean, statistically, that's just impossible.
Well, look, I think she raises a serious issue, but unless she can produce actual evidence, you can't overturn an election based on statistics. Judges just don't buy that.
Sure.
She would have to find and produce voters who are able to testify that this ballot, which was credited with coming from me, I did not cast that ballot. In other words, she would have to show that those were fraudulent ballots. And unless you can show that, you're just not going to be able to produce the kind of evidence needed to get an election overturned. And look, I hope people aren't thinking I'm being pessimistic. I'm just trying to be realistic here about the trouble you have trying to overturn an election.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so each of those 450,000 ballots, they all have names, and they all have dates. But do you think there are credible accusations of irregularities in this election process? And is it worth at least investigating these, to kind of assure, the 71 million people who voted for Trump, of which I'm one, that, hey, there's an integrity to the election, even though there may be, a little cheating here and there. I mean, that always happens. But comment on that. The election integrity seems to be at stake here.
Well, look, I agree. And I think every instance of irregularity, possible misconduct, possible fraud needs to be investigated. Because if we had been doing that kind of thing all along, we probably wouldn't be in this position today. Look, I've been working on this issue for 20 years.
The issue of voting fraud.
Recommendations on how to improve our election process, and people just ignore it. The media just discounts it, and that's one of the reasons we're in the position today. I mean, just give you a quick example. Look, in Nevada, there are claims that individuals who don't actually live in Nevada but are residents of California actually registered to vote in Nevada and voted in the state. Okay, well, it's tough to discover and investigate that problem after the fact. If Nevada had a system whereby they would routinely check their voter registration list by comparing it with other states like California to find people who are registered in both states, they could have eliminated those people from the list before the election, but they don't do that. And as a result, Nevada's voter registration list is notoriously inaccurate and not up to date.
Well, it's a good thing they have so few electoral votes. Because I'm serious. I mean, every state counts. It does seem weird, too. I mean, there's no question about the double standard of the media and the way the media has handled this, and even big tech, where they've even censored out tweets from Trump. So it's almost like raising legitimate questions, as each day goes on. The pro-Trump forces look like they're just a bunch of nuts who are sore losers, essentially.
Well, yes, you're exactly right about that. But that goes along with the fact that every effort to show that fraud actually occurs in our elections is attacked by the media. I mean, to give you an example of this, we started a database just a couple of years ago at the Heritage Foundation. It's a sampling of proven voter fraud cases from across the country. We're up to almost 1,300 cases. Last month, USA Today and PBS, if you can believe this, assigned 14 reporters to go through our database to try to find mistakes and errors in it so that they could just dismiss it and say, oh, this is inaccurate, unimportant. They weren't able to do that.
I read somewhere, Hans, that France supposedly in 1975 decided to abolish mail-in ballots because of the potential problems that we've seen in this particular election. Is that true? And by the way, one thing I've got to say, and it would be good for you to say it, that there's a lot of false information out there related to this, including from perhaps well-meaning conservatives and so forth. We need to be very careful with the information we share. But go ahead. Is that true about France?
I don't know when they eliminated it, but yes, what they call postal voting is not allowed in almost every country in the European Union because they realize how vulnerable it is to fraud. And in fact, if you look at the proven election fraud cases in our database, many of them involve absentee ballot fraud. And if people think about it, it makes sense because look, they're the only kind of ballots that are voted outside the supervision of election officials and outside the supervision of poll observers. So frankly, it's much easier to cheat with those kind of ballots than it is regular ballots. And it's also easier for candidates or party activists and others. Look, they can't coerce or pressure you in your polling place to vote a particular way. They can do that at your home because there's nobody there to prevent that from happening. And that's another reason why I think there's frankly been this big push to go to all mail elections, because it makes cheating easier. It makes it easier to pressure voters to vote a particular way. And it's just not a good idea for people to vote that way unless they really have to, because they're too sick or disabled to make it to their polling place.
And when you're talking about postal ballots, that's not the same thing as absentee ballots, which we've been doing for, you know, a century and a half at least. Correct?
Well, no, I'm including both absentee ballots and just regular mail-in ballots. I mean, the difference is in five states in the U.S., they've switched to all mail elections. You don't go to a polling place. They simply mail a ballot to every registered voter in the state. The rest of the states allow absentee ballots where you request it because you can't make it to the polling places or for other reasons. But look, the absentee ballot process is better than an all-mail election because you're supposed to fill out a form and sign it, which does give election officials some opportunity to authenticate the request. But still, even in that situation, absentee ballots are also more prone to fraud and other problems.
Hmm. You mentioned that this is five states where they had all postal. Are any of those five states some of the key swing states in this particular contested election?
No, they're not.
Oh,
it's Washington, Oregon, Colorado, Hawaii, and Utah.
Oh, Utah. I mean, that's the only one that would fit a conservative mold as far as the voting generally. Okay,
right.
How about dead people voting? There were reports, credible reports, showing that I forget the exact number. I think it was 39 people who voted in Pennsylvania were actually alive during the time of the Civil War. So they must be, you know, they found the real fountain of youth, I guess. But seriously, I don't imagine enough dead people voting to overturn the elections, because you're talking about maybe hundreds as opposed to thousands and even tens of thousands of votes. But how would you suggest that they curb that kind of fraud?
Well, I should mention that maybe that's the case with those 39 voters. But on the other hand, it may have been a data entry mistake by a clerk putting in the wrong birth date, and that they haven't figured that out. What I will tell you is that we actually do know the possible extent of the problem. The Public Interest Legal Foundation, which is a private nonprofit, actually recently issued a report. It's a shocking report. It's called Critical Condition. And what they did is they obtained the voter registration list of 42 states. They then also obtained the voter history. They supplemented that information with commercial data so that they would get a unique identifier on each person. Through that, they could check official death records and other things. They found, I forget the exact numbers, like over 350,000 people who are dead, according to official records, who are still on voter registration lists in those 42 states. They also discovered that in the 2016 and 2018 election, almost 14,000 of those people who are dead were credited by state authorities with having voted. Mm. The state authorities don't know that they have these dead people on the list. So if that's correct, that's a lot of potentially fraudulent votes that were cast by people other than those voters. And that tells you that that is also a problem. Could those 14,000 illegally cast ballots have made a difference in this election? Probably not, but there might have been enough to make a difference in smaller, more local elections where the margin of victory was, you know, a couple of hundred votes.
All right. We have 30 seconds left. Anything else you want to say about election integrity and how important it is to get this right? And, you know, along the lines, is it possible that there were many, many Republican voters who voted Republican except for the president, and they made an exception with him and yet still voted, you know, for the senators and congresspeople, et cetera?
Well, look, I guess that's a possibility. There are a certain percentage of voters who do split their tickets, but it is somewhat unusual for it to happen in such large numbers. But look, that doesn't prove that fraud occurred, but it does raise questions about what happened in the voting process.
Heritage.org for more information. Hans von Spakovsky, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.